So we continue looking through our church values, and in case you've forgotten what they are, they're on this side, the bookmarks that hopefully you've still got at home somewhere that you pray over. The church values, these are things that we've discerned as a church that God is calling us to live with and through and to be for Wellington and the community. And today we're looking at this value of, where is it? Whoop, that one, of love. That one of loving each other. That's the one we're focusing on over the last few weeks and the next few weeks. And as part of that this morning, we're looking at listening to each other. Listening to each other. And before I begin, I want to say that I think so often God calls you to talk on something that is so much totally out of your comfort zone. This morning, brothers and sisters, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me as well. I think I'm okay at listening. I think I'm definitely better than I was, but I also know lots of people are better at it than I am, and I've got a long way to go. So for those of you out there that are raving extroverts like myself, I hope that for you especially, something from this morning is helpful for you and challenging for you, as it was for me when I was thinking this through this week. So I want to begin with a gentle reminder for all of us, including me, that listening isn't the same as hearing. So hearing is a scientific thing. It's receiving sound waves through your ears. They hit your eardrum. Whereas listening means you do that, you hear, but you understand what you've heard. You do something with it. You put it into practice. You act on it. Hearing is part of the five senses. Whereas listening is a choice to hear and analyse what it is you've heard. And there's a real sense of that, I think, from our reading in James this morning. So we're going to begin with a bit of a highbrow look at a couple of words in James. We're going to go back to the original language and see what is written. So in verse 22, we hear this: be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be doers, not hearers only. In Greek, this word doer is poietes, and this word hearer is akroetes. So we're challenged this morning to not be an akroetes, but to be a poietes. What does that mean? Well, akroetes means we just hear what is being said. So there's sound waves hitting our eardrums, but that's about it. But that word poietes, doer, means a keeper, an obeyer, a performer. So we do something with what we've heard. It's almost like it's a script, yeah, that informs our actions. In the same way that an actor would perform based on the script he's given and the stage directions he's given. So the challenge for us as Christians is to hear what people are saying and to perform with it, to act with it, to allow it to influence our movements and our thoughts and our words. So we don't just get the sound waves hitting our eardrums, we do something with it. And it's true that in this passage, James is talking about the words of God, be doers of the word. He's talking about, God's word and all that that might mean. But I also think, in my opinion, it's clear that he's talking about listening to each other. He's just said a couple of verses before, be slow to speak and quick to hear. He's talking about being in relationship with each other. And the word he uses in that verse, a couple of verses before verse 22, the word that's used there for the word hear doesn't actually mean hear just in a scientific way. It's not akroetes, but it also means to comprehend, to understand, to do something with it. So, first challenge for us this morning, are we a doer? Are we a poietes rather than akroetes? I'm reminded of a funny story of the President Franklin Roosevelt. So he often received long lines of people at the White House. You know what I mean? You've probably seen them before, people lining up to shake hands with the president or to talk to him or whatever. And he complained, no one really pays me any attention. No one listens to what I'm saying. And one day, during one of these reception lines, he decided to do an experiment. He decided that to each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he would murmur this sentence. He would say to them, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And what he found out was that each guest responded with a phrase like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work, sir. We're proud of you. God bless you." And it wasn't until the end of the line, when greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. The story goes that the ambassador leant over and whispered, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." Anyway, our value isn't hearing each other. Our value is listening to each other. Why is that important? Well, it's important primarily because Jesus did it. Jesus modelled listening. And we can look at a couple of examples of Jesus listening to people. Let me read to you, please, if I may. Some sentences from Mark. We're in chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. I won't go through the whole thing. I'll pull out some sentences for you. So they're going into Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples were leaving with a large crowd, a blind beggar called Bartimaeus was sitting by the road. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd said, "Shush, be quiet." But he called out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. Jesus said, "Call him." And then as the blind man, as Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus, Jesus asked this question. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he listened to the blind man's answer, "Let me see again." And Jesus heals him. So to begin with in this story, what does Jesus do? He hears. He hears Bartimaeus shouting. He hears the hubbub. But he does more. He's not just a hearer, but he's a doer. He acts on it. He does something about it. He responds. And I think this is amazing. There's such a large crowd. There's so many people. But amidst the hubbub and the noise, Jesus hears. And Jesus understands that a response is needed. But there's more than that. Jesus doesn't just go over and heal him. He doesn't hear and go and do something. He hears, but then he does a bit of listening. He goes over and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he waits for the response. Now, I would have thought it's pretty obvious what Jesus would have wanted to do. I would have thought it's pretty obvious what the blind man would have wanted. But Jesus makes no such assumptions. I wonder if there's something we can learn here. Let's not make assumptions about what people might like, what people might need, how people might feel. Let's not assume we know. Let's just ask them. I want to hasten a guess that Jesus would have known, but he still asks. Maybe to model to us that that's the way we should be doing it. Another example of Jesus listening. Let's go to Luke 24. And we read this. He's on the road to Emmaus. And we read that Jesus approaches two people walking along the road to Emmaus. And he says to them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. And Cleopas asked the Lord, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. Now, I'll let you into a bit of a secret. Jesus knew what the things were because they were all about him. He'd been there. And it would have been so easy for him, wouldn't it, to go, "Ta-da, it's me." Let you into a secret and just to blurt it all out and go for it. And say, "What are you worried about? Are you your little faith? Blah, blah, blah." But he doesn't. He says, "What things?" And we read in verse 19 to 24, he listens to their pain. They say things like, "We were hoping that he was going to be the one to redeem us from the Romans." And they pour out their pain. They pour out their hearts to Jesus and he listens. He hears beyond their words. He hears what they've gone through, what they've hoped for. And it's only once he's listened and walked with them, I think that's important, and walked with them, journeyed with them, that he gives them an answer. And it's an answer saturated in scripture. And it's an answer as well that points to himself, that points to Jesus. You see, those two things are the answer, aren't they? to all of life's questions, to all of the worries, all of the despairs, all of the nightmares of the world, the answer is in the Word of God and in the Word of God. They're the answers. But I wonder if, like Jesus, do we take time to listen and walk with people first before giving them an answer? So this morning we've looked at listening instead of just hearing, at being doers, not just hearers. We've seen how Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" and listened. He didn't make assumptions of what people needed or how people felt. And we've looked at how Jesus walked alongside people and listened. The theologian Bonhoeffer says this in his book Life Together. He says, "Christians have forgotten that the ministry of listening has been committed to them by him who is himself the great listener and his work they should share." He says, "We should listen with the ears of God, that we may speak the word of God. We should listen with the ears of God, that we may speak the word of God." God, the great listener, the good shepherd, we saw that in our gospel reading, who whispers to his sheep, who longs for us to listen to him too, to hear him call us, his own sheep by name, and lead us out. We see many examples, don't we, in scripture of Jesus' disciples not listening. We might think of Simon Peter in John 13 getting totally overexcited when Jesus says, "I need to wash your feet," and says, "No, Lord, wash all of me instead." Hearing but not listening. Or maybe John 10, where Jesus is talking about Lazarus being asleep, wink, wink, and his disciples say, "Well, if he's just asleep, he'll wake up." And Jesus has to say, "No, you haven't got it. He's dead." Times when they were hearing instead of listening. As we come into land this morning, I wonder if you can think of a conversation you've had over the last few weeks where maybe emotions were high. Maybe a comment someone said on a Facebook thread or Twitter or a news interview or what a politician said something and it just made you go, "Argh." Maybe even a chat you've had with someone about a juicy issue. We've forgotten about Brexit, some of us, haven't we, over the pandemic? But that's something that is hard to listen to without getting partisan about it. And the challenge, especially for me, is after all we've thought about today, the challenge is to listen without assuming things. To draw alongside, to journey, to walk with people, to ask them questions and to listen to their fears and their feelings. Or maybe closer to home, what might this look like at All Saints Church? We're a church, aren't we, with a range of different preferences and views when it comes to worship style. Some people think we're too informal. Some people think we're not formal enough. Some like the lively band-led music but think it's too noisy. Some like the lively band-led music but think it should be louder. Some don't like it at all and would prefer it if we worshipped with traditional hymns on the organ. And what about those within our church family with different views on liturgy or formality or robes or pews or even, heaven forbid, coffee? What does it look like when the rubber hits the road? With this view of listening to each other, when we put it into practice, when we think about how Jesus listened. Well, I want to say that maybe we need to listen without assuming things about the other person. We need to ask, like Jesus did, why is it you think that? Why is it important to you? And we need to listen and really listen. We don't all think the same. We don't all have the same opinions. We don't all have the same view. It would be boring if we did. But we do have the same Lord. Amen? We are saved by the same cross. We're going to be resurrected by the same Jesus. And so when it comes to differences like this, we're called to truly listen to each other, to walk with each other, even those that we might not agree with. Who knows what church is going to look like after lockdown eases? Who knows what changes might have to happen? But for those of us who might find those changes really hard, we listen, we walk with each other, and we point each other to Jesus. So let's have a moment of quiet. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe as I was talking, something came into your heart. Maybe a conversation you've had or something you find it difficult to understand. Maybe a particular opinion that people hold that you really find difficult. Maybe something about church that you find hard, that not everyone agrees with. And I'd invite you this morning to hold that person or that conversation or that situation before Jesus, knowing that somewhere someone else with the opposite opinion to you will be doing exactly the same, perhaps, to the same King, the same God, the same Lord. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, come and help us to listen. Help us to walk with that person. Help us to listen to their needs and their disappointments and their cares. Because that's what Jesus did. So before we sing our next song, we have a moment of quiet to bring those conversations, those differences of opinion, before the Lord. And in fact, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and if that's something you want to say with me, maybe just say amen at the end in your heart or out loud. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the great listener, that you listen, you don't make assumptions. We see that in the story of blind Bartimaeus, that you walk alongside us through our grief and our difficulties. We see that in Luke 24. So Lord, we bring to you situations that we find difficult, conversations that we find difficult with others, opinions that others have about church or politics or things that we don't agree with, and we find it hard. Lord, we confess that we find it hard. So Holy Spirit, would you give us opportunity to listen without assumption,